This is Living the Dream.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Living the Dream. This is Jeff Bishop, Duct Tape Marketing Coach. If you'd like to join us on the air, please give us a call at 877-230-3062. Or if you'd like to get in touch with us by email, just email us at ltd@mydreambiz.net. And just a reminder that if you'd ever like to listen to any of our archive programs, they're always available at www.mydreambiz.net. So now we've long awaited and appreciate Marcus being patient with us. Marcus May, one of our affiliates who's a business attorney with Eckert Kolick LLC in Chicago, is going to spend a little time with us discussing about buying a business. And very, very intrigued about that, given all of the change in the economy and everything that's happening there. So what kind of activity are you seeing now, Marcus, out of the market?
Actually, the good news for buyers is we're actually seeing a little bit more activity now. It seemed like financing was pretty much impossible last year to get, and a lot of the sellers were not putting their businesses on the market because of concerns that they wouldn't get the price they were asking. And so actually we're starting to see a little bit more movement this year.
Interesting, which is which parallels kind of the housing industry, right? So what would you say, what's different about buying a business from buying a house?
Well, most people, when they're looking at buying a house, what they do is they go to an agent. The agent looks on the MLS, and they begin to narrow down, you know, what they want to get by just looking at one source. With buying a business, the source is really a lot broader. There is no real multiple listing service. There's a bunch of different websites out there. However, a lot of what's on the websites is old stuff. And what you really want to do is you want to try to find a business that's newer on the market or that even hasn't been brought on the market so that you can try to purchase it before there's a lot of competition out there.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, you make a good point. I never thought about that as a really good point there about with buying a house. It's, you know, you've got the MLS service, right? And within a business, there really are not services like that, right?
There really aren't. Okay. If you're looking to buy a franchise, you can go to a franchise broker, someone who will give you a bunch of franchises to look at, or you can go to other regular business brokers or intermediaries, and they can tell you a little bit of what they have out there. There's websites like businessesforsale.com and BizQuest and just a bunch of BizBuySell, different types of websites out there that you can go to. But the problem is that there's no one place you can go, and even what's out there really takes a lot more vetting. When you're buying a house and it says 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath, you're pretty sure of what you're getting, you know, if it's a colonial style or a ranch or whatever. But with a business, each business is really unique, and you're buying employees, you're buying customers, you're buying vendor relationships, you're buying a lot of different things, which make
you're buying a reputation too, right, Marcus?
You're buying a reputation. All of that goes into play, and so trying to figure out A, what you're buying, and B, what it's worth, are things that are a lot trickier than when buying a house.
Interesting. So how would you go? Let's say Lauren and I decided today that we want to go buy a business, right? Let's go buy a radio station, Lauren. What do you think?
There you go.
What the heck? Right? Is that okay with that, Lauren?
Well, I think we're on a different plane. I was thinking ice cream shop.
Okay. Well, let's go ice cream shop.
Either one. Whether you're going for a $20 million radio station or a $100,000 ice cream shop,
okay,
you're going to end up having to do a lot of the same things. First thing you need to do when buying a business really is to determine, are you an entrepreneur? Are you the type of person who's going to be able to work on your own, make decisions on your own, run your own show? If so, then you need to try to figure out what can you purchase? And a lot of that has to do with getting your finances in order.
Okay.
This is important because you're going to be required to put some money into the deal. Nobody's going to say, oh, Lauren and Jeff, you are fantastic. I'm going to give you $20 million. Go and do this. No. The bank is going to say, okay, even if you have industry experience and this and this and this, we still want you to put 10% down, 20% down. And we've seen the percentages going up. Banks generally requiring more with, you know, the whole economic situation we're in. So you need to figure out what you can put into the deal, and that will come into play into helping you determine what you can purchase.
Interesting. And I like what, obviously, you mentioned that, you know, having your finances in order is very important. They want to, it sounds like they need some skin in the game, right, in terms of as a buyer.
Absolutely. And it used to be you could get by with a little bit less, but everybody wants it. The lenders want it, and the seller will want it also. There will be or you will want it from the seller. You will want the seller to put some skin in the game and have some seller financing involved there so that they have an interest in the business down the road and helping you succeed. But you have a certain amount of money you're going to need to put in. And determining the price is often a function of what you can put in.
Okay.
And that's where getting a lender on board and, you know, getting your deal team involved early on is somewhat important.
Okay. That's an interesting term, deal team. I would not think about that. If, you know, I've not bought a business, needless to say. But tell us a little bit about the deal team. What's that about?
Sure. When you're going into anything that you don't know everything about, it's always good to surround yourself with people who know what it is that you're getting involved in. Any time you're entering into any type of a deal, if you don't know the rules of the game, you should get somebody that knows the rules of the game before entering into it. And it just makes common sense. And so when you're looking at buying a business, who should be on your deal team, who can help you succeed, are the people who fill in the gaps of knowledge that you don't have. If you are a prior banker and you know a lot about banking, you may not need a banker on your deal team right to begin with because you already know quite a bit. But if you don't, and you don't know what you can afford in a business, then you should have a banker on your deal team, somebody who can pre-approve you and help you figure out, you know, what it is you can afford. Mm-hmm. Likewise, unless you've done these deals before and actually know what you're doing, you should have a deal attorney involved. This shouldn't be just a general business attorney or real estate attorney. It should be someone who, with M&A, mergers and acquisition experience, that can really jump in and help you get the deal done. I can't tell you the number of times I've had somebody on the other side of a deal who really wasn't a deal attorney, and I was able to save my clients thousands and thousands of dollars just because of the way the deal was structured. Not in purchase price, but the way the deal is structured. Likewise, if you don't have the financial background to look at the books and records of the seller and determine what it is you're buying, you should get a good accountant, someone who's well-versed in due diligence and things of that nature, try to figure out what it is you're buying.
Interesting. So it sounds like, I know, Marcus, you're a basketball player, and you generally need to have five to field a team, right? I realize at our stage of life, 3-on-3 might be more appropriate. So it sounds like on that team you need at least, you got to have a deal-savvy attorney. And by the way, if you guys haven't figured that out, that's who Marcus May is. And number one, you need a banker, right? You need a CPA of some kind, it sounds like.
Yeah, you should have an accountant. You may want to have a valuation specialist if the accountant can't do that. You may want to hire a business broker, and we should talk about that in a little bit, about whether or not hiring a business broker makes sense for you in a certain situation.
Okay.
Because there's buy-side and there's sell-side brokers, and buy-side brokers can provide a lot of value.
Okay. And just talk about that for just a second, don't mind. Tell us a little bit about brokers.
Okay. Just like you have a real estate broker who sells a house, there are people out there who are business brokers or business intermediaries. The term is pretty much interchangeable. Just those who sell larger businesses tend to call themselves intermediaries, and those who sell smaller businesses tend to call themselves brokers.
Okay.
And they should be registered with the state. And they tend to, for the most part, go around to sellers, to people who own businesses, and say, hey, are you looking to sell? Are you looking to retire? I can help you sell your business. And they get information from the seller, and then they turn around, create a little book or some kind of offering type of item that they then give to prospective buyers to try to sell the business. And that's the role of the broker. So the question is, for a buyer, how can I use a broker to benefit? And there's different things. Even if you don't hire a buy-side broker, if you as a buyer get on the radar with a bunch of other brokers and you tell them on a quarterly basis, yeah, hi, I'm Marcus May, I'm looking for a business which has a roughly $2 million purchase price and a metal bending manufacturer in the Great Lakes region, something of that nature, and you keep after them, once they begin working for someone, they'll think of you, and they'll call you. And that's the way to get a business without it going to market. And that can really save you from the competition. It's a very competitive process, buying a business. And so that's something that's real important for buyers to realize. They're not the only ones out there. There's a ton of outplaced execs out there who used to run divisions of companies or companies who are now looking to buy businesses, and they're all competing.
Interesting. Well, and that's a great point about it. I've heard that buying a business can be very competitive, right? So what do you need to do to distinguish yourself from other buyers?
Well, I think if you're a buyer, you really need to take the process seriously, and you need to know who you are. Mm. You need to create a portfolio to sell yourself. You concentrate on your strengths. You're going to need to sell yourself, one, to the seller, and two, to the lenders.
Okay.
And there may even be situations where you're trying to sell yourself to private equity, where private equity group would set you up in a company to run it for them. That's a little bit different. But either way, there's people out there that have a choice to make whether to do business with you. A lender is going to lend money to you only if they think you're going to be able to make the business succeed. So you need to be able to show them why you are the right person for them to lend money to. The seller, likewise, will have some sort of skin in the game themselves, and they're going to not just get paid out at closing. They're going to want to make sure that they get paid in the future any amounts due. And so they want someone that's able to operate the business well. And if they have a choice between two or three people, and they say, Jane over here can run this business a lot better than Jim can, I'm going to go with Jane because I'll be able to get my money back. And remember, the sellers also established that reputation Lauren talked about recently. They like to see their baby continue on into the future, and they want to see the business succeed. They don't want it to go down the tubes, even if they do get all their money.
Absolutely. Very interesting about, as you said, you kind of almost have to target two markets in terms of selling. You got to target the seller, and you got to target the lender as well, which is interesting.
Right.
There's some differences there. Well, here's a high-level question. I realize, so generally, how long does the process take?
It really depends. The smaller type deals, you can do fairly quickly.
And what would you say smaller is when you say smaller?
Oh, under a million.
Under me, okay.
Under a million in sales price. They're generally a lot easier to find. You can find them from brokers who deal in that size market a lot easier. The due diligence tends to, the process of finding out if the business is what you think it is, tends to be a lot easier. Your financial risk is easier. And so you can do things anywhere from a month, 2-3 months, 6 months, something like that for a smaller size deal, I would say. I've known people that haven't found the right business for them, in 2 years. But on the other hand, I've also had somebody come to me and say, hey, I want to buy this business and I want to buy it next week. So you get all sorts of different things. The larger the business, the longer it takes. And I would say anywhere from 6 to 18 months is typical for anything, say, $750,000 to $5 million, in sales price. That's probably a typical type of a time frame.
Okay. So it's interesting. I mean, obviously, it makes sense that they say the bigger the deal is, the longer that it takes, right?
Marcus,
right.
I have a quick question. So getting back to what you first started talking about, the financing with the banks, is financing starting to lessen up? Are they starting to loosen up and give some more financing? Is that what you're saying, or what? Because I don't know if that's Mm-hmm. The banks still seem rigid to me, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the banks are definitely more rigid than a few years ago, and it's going to be a long time, if ever, before we get to that that standard again. I do see a lot more seller financing, and in fact, I've had some deals where it was 100% seller financed.
And
there was no bank involved. I've had other deals where somebody would be bringing in all their own money. However, I have heard that the banks have been lightening up a little bit. Having said that, I had lunch last week with someone, and they said the SBA loans were at their lowest levels in history just last month. So.
Okay.
You hear lots of different things. I will say every lender I meet with says on the face that they're lending, and I'm sure that they will if they really think it's a strong
if they company. Find that perfect buyer.
Right. If they find the perfect buyer and the perfect seller. And a lot of times they're looking at cash flow in these size deals, and if you have, you know, $500,000 of cash flow and you have meaning after expenses, seller's discretionary cash flow. Another term you'll hear is EBIT or EBITDA, earnings before income taxes and depreciation, amortization, things of that nature.
Yep.
People tend to use those as multiples and say, okay, a purchase price of 4x EBITDA. You know, so $500,000 cash flow times 4, you pay $2 million for that. And then they do cash flow analysis to see if you can pay back the loan. And they'll look at the customer ratio. If there's only one customer, that's a big risk. If it's a very diversified customer base, that's a little better.
Right.
Well Marcus, we are actually running out of time. I apologize. This is awesome. We could continue this conversation. And we want you absolutely is going to be back on again. So, hey, next week, please join us again. You can reach us at mydreambiz.net. So thanks again for joining us. And, again, you can listen to any of the archive programs at mydreambiz.net.